Portions of the following program were pre-recorded.
Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live. Recorded live at Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas. Presented along the Cornerstone Radio Network and the Kingdom Keys Network of Stations. Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for this broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to a Sunday Night Live in 2024. It's been a good start. We're a few days into it. I guess what? Today's the 7th, 8th? I don't even know what day it is. Anyway, I have my better half with me. James, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing well in 24.
Well in 24. That's good. Well, you know, last week was New Year's Eve. And we had talked about Cornerstone Church. They had a service. And I don't know if any of our listeners tuned in. We told them about it and told them they could check it on Facebook Live. But I was just going to kind of get your take on that. What did you think about that, bringing in the new year while you're praising the Lord and listening to a man of God share word?
I thought it was really good. I spent a few years bringing in the new year when I was younger. I think that's the first time I've been up for the new year in a while. But it was really good, praising the Lord and doing communion and all that was really, really good way to end the year and start the new one.
I know it. And I, just as a little joke, I mean, I was thinking, you know, it brings a whole new meaning to falling asleep in service in the evening. You know, we're all ready for bed. It was funny because people were drinking coffee because that's oldies. We were trying to do what we could to stay awake. But I really, really enjoyed it. A piece of knowing that, and I know it's just a symbolism of coming into a new time, you know, it's a new year, it's just a symbolism, but we chose to set aside that time to focus on God and what He had. We did communion, like you said, and had the opportunity for anybody that wanted prayer that could have prayer. And I walked out saying, I hope we do this every year. You know, whether it's on Sunday or not, we have it every year.
Right.
Because I enjoyed it that much.
I know a lot of, you know, there's quite a few churches out there that do that. They have a New Year's special every year.
I have never heard of it. It makes sense, though.
Yeah. I know that, like I said, there's some churches I know that do that. But we just never have, you know.
Yeah. And one of the things, Sonia spoke, and one of the things that she said was try to see God in all the moments. And correct me if I'm saying it wrong, because I'm trying to remember it being a week ago. But every day, try to see God in something.
And yeah, something that He done or you felt or, you know, because God's in every day. You know, He's there. We just a lot of times don't see it. We'll overlook it. Don't think about it or whatever. And she was just talking about how to go through the year making a conscious effort every day to think of something that God did or was in your life personally every single day. Just to acknowledge Him and recognize Him and give Him the glory for that.
And that's just it. God is always working, whether we see it or not. We have to look for it and see it because He is there. And I don't believe in coincidences. I believe in God. God condenses, however you would say it, but anyway, but really, honestly, sadly to say, a couple of days later, I had forgot about the whole focus on God, find God in that moment, And Sonia had actually called and told me a God moment. And I thought, oh, yeah, we're supposed to be trying to find a God moment. And so I was trying to really reflect on that. And then just the other day, you asked me, too. You said, well, what was your God moment? And I had forgot again. And we just, as believers, we have to be around each other to help us remember to look for the God moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's accountability type deal. You know, it helps you. Mm-hmm. Helps us to have someone we're accountable to. Even, like I said, if it's just your spouse in the morning talking over coffee, you know, hey, yesterday or at night laying around talking whatever with each other, you know, what did you, and you, if you know that you're going to have to talk about that, you know, at night or in the morning or whenever you do, afternoon, whenever you do it, you know what I mean, you'll more consciously seek that. And if you're looking for it, you'll find it. You know, God says, he who seeks finds. And so if we're seeking our God moment for the day or whatever, whether how minute, how small that is, you know, we'll see that.
Yeah, and so it reminds me of when you did ask me, because I was like, you know, I can't really think of anything. And I had to think. But then before I knew it, I think I had come up with two things. And they weren't huge. They were still God things. You know, I had forgot about a song, and I was really trying to remember it, and I couldn't. And I had asked the Lord to help me remember that song or to bring it about. And I get in my car, and I turn my car on, and it's playing on the radio. And people would say that's a coincidence. I don't think that's a coincidence. That is, I believe, God answering my prayer, God moment. That was a way of God smiling on me and listening to me and reaffirming that He does hear me, and He does hear my prayers, and He does that for everybody.
Yeah.
So through the month of December, I had encouraged our listeners to read the book of Luke, a chapter a day, and I hope that you guys enjoy that, because if you were able to take part of that. But with that being said, it brings me about of what we want to do for this year. So at Cornerstone Church, where this radio station is actually recorded out of, it's actually a ministry of Cornerstone Church. But Cornerstone Church here in Wheeler is doing a Read the New Testament in a Year program. And after talking about it, and even Kim was on the radio with me last week, and Kim talking about it, we thought, what a good idea if we would have went ahead, and we did that on the radio. And so that's actually going to be our focus for this next year, is we want to get into the Word, but we want to read it, talk about it, meditate on it, roll it around in your mind, think about the little things, and try to just get that in your heart. And so we want to encourage you to join us as we start. We've actually read Matthew chapters 1 through 5 this week. And so we're going to go ahead and go over those chapters. But if you want to jump in and catch up, surely you can catch up with 5 chapters. And then next week is we'll start 5 more chapters. And so you can read them however you want, a chapter a day, 2 chapters a day, every other day, however you want to do it. But that's how we're going to do it, is we're going to discuss those 5 chapters. And I'll actually put a link on our Facebook page where you can access Cornerstone's website, where they have the notes and where they actually have the schedule for the reading program. So with that being said, last week, Kim and I, we had talked, and we were talking about focus. And we were talking about, you know, in the new year, focus. And we started out talking about a little focus, but it ended up being a broad, just focus on Jesus. Put your focus on Jesus, and it really goes along with what Sonia said. And she said, you know, see Jesus, or see that God moment, see Jesus. And so that's what we want to set out to do this year, just thanking God for what He has done and see Him in everything that He has done around us. So do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, every Sunday night there's going to be a recap video, a short 3 to 5 minute.
Oh, yeah.
3 to 5 minute video. By, I believe most of the time are going to be people of Cornerstone Church, our local church, will be giving different couples and stuff are going to give a short recap of that week of like maybe what I seen this week, what I got out of it this week kind of deal. And I think that's going to be on Facebook. I'm not sure what
I believe as of right now, it's supposed to be on Cornerstone Wheeler's Facebook page. They may be putting it on the website. I'm not for sure. But we're just kind of getting into this. And as we go along, we'll be sure and let you guys know if you want to be a part of that and check that out.
And there should have been one posted today, I believe 6 p.m., and I don't know if it, I haven't seen it, so I don't know if it got posted, but it was supposed to, the first one was supposed to get posted today.
Yeah, that's right.
But I haven't seen it, so.
I haven't seen it either.
Check with the Facebook.
So, hey, we're real prepared for that, aren't we? Okay, so, well, I just think about the New Testament, and we started reading in Matthew, you know, reading the chapters 1 through 5, and after reading Luke and then starting in Matthew, Matthew's just like, bam, here's some genealogy. Here you go. Mm-hmm. And usually I skip over the genealogy. I kind of read over it because I know we should read it. It's there for a reason. It's there for a purpose. But this time around, I actually took my time reading the names and really trying. And what really stuck out to me was the different names in the lineage that we know of stories of in the Bible. It talks about, of course, David and Solomon, and it talks about Boaz and Ruth, and it just shows you the lineage there as you start in Matthew. Not like Luke. Luke goes right into the Jesus story. Mm-hmm. But we get into that genealogy, and it actually is showing us where Abraham and David traces that lineage all the way back, Jesus' lineage all the way back to Abraham and David, and basically that the prophecy was fulfilled that Jesus came to save the world.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and it makes me think of that, the little TV series, The Chosen. And I know The Chosen is not, it's Bible-based, but it's not, you know, 100% accurate. And there's a lot of people that kind of don't like it because it's not 100% biblical, you know, and all that stuff. But I think they've done a really good job in making the people of the Bible, the Jesus and the apostles, real. They were real people just like us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They lived their daily lives and they screwed up and they
wondered about. They had normal personalities like us.
Yeah, they weren't just fictional characters in a book. They were real, you know, and the way they depict Matthew in that series, I believe, is really good because he's a numbers guy. He's maybe even somewhat autistic, maybe somewhat is the way they portray him, you know, and he's just facts. He don't have like a sense of humor. It's just strictly the facts, you know, and in the way he starts out his book, right, mm-hmm. Matthew, is strictly facts. He's giving you facts to prove Jesus who is who he said he was. He's giving you numbers, you know.
I know.
And so when I read Matthew now, I can kind of see the Matthew in that character in The Chosen. And I thought, you know what, I think they got him. I think they got that right, you know. I mean, I know, like I said, it's just a made up deal, but you can see that type of personality in Matthew's writings.
Yeah, and that's another thing with The Chosen. It brings it to life. As you're reading it, you can almost picture it because you saw it in the series.
Yeah.
Like you said, then you can also see where some of the things are not necessarily the same, but that's okay.
Right.
But I know Matthew's just like, here's this information. Now here's this information. Now here's this information.
Yeah.
And it's not really a story so much, but just a collection of the different things.
Right, right. And like I said, when Luke, he's more of a descriptive, he was like a doctor, I believe, and a surgeon or whatever. And so, mm-hmm. you know, he's real informative and gives you the story behind the deal and lots of details and all that. You know, Matthew, not so much in the details. He's more into, okay, this is the facts, you know. This mm-hmm. is all you need to know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good, you know. And
So here we go, and we're going to go. So that pretty much sums up chapter one. You know, we're preparing the. Basically, he's saying, here we go. We have lineage. This is where Jesus came from. He's coming to save the world.
chapter one is a lot of that stuff there. You've seen how the angel appeared to Mary and Joseph. The stuff got to me somewhat is when God told Joseph to do something, he didn't hesitate. He just done it. The angel showed up and said, hey, this is Mary's going to be born of the Holy Spirit. He said, okay, he went and married her anyway. He was not going to, but he did. He didn't question no more after the angel, and he did it. And then the angel told him to get out of Nazareth and go to Egypt because Herod was trying to kill him. He just did it, you know what I mean? So I think back of some of those times when God tells us to do stuff. Do we not do it? And then we have all this turmoil that shows up when had we done what God told us to do, you know,
we could have avoided
all that. Where, like I said, had Joseph not done that, you know, I don't think that Jesus would have got killed if had the soldiers showed up. God would have had another plan, you know, or another route. He'd have been rerouting, you know, to get something else done. But the fact of it is that Joseph didn't question that. He just did it, and it saved him a whole lot of trouble and a whole lot of, you know, no telling what. You know, and by being obedient when they heard God, you know. And so that just goes to, you know, when the last God showed up and then told Joseph when it was safe to go back to Nazareth, you know, he was safe that Herod had died, and to go back, and that's fulfilled another prophecy that he would be known as the branch, you know, and from Nazareth. And so every time God would send them somewhere, it would fulfill a different prophecy that they had prophesied. And they, you know, so I'm sure a lot of the Jewish people, well, it said he would come from Nazareth, said he'd come from Galilee. How can he come from both? And each thing was a prophecy fulfilling deal that when they listened to God, you know, it fulfilled a prophecy.
It makes you think about it. That Matthew was making a point to show that it fulfilled a prophecy in
everybody in that day, you know, all the Jewish men, the young men, they would know the prophecies. You know, they were required to memorize the whole thing, the whole Torah. And so, and they knew those, you know, they had been hundreds of years and they knew every prophecy about the Messiah. That's who they were looking for. Everybody was looking for the Messiah.
But yet, they still didn't believe.
I know, but the ones that didn't believe were still looking.
True.
There's people today, and Jews today, that are still looking. They've been looking. They, you know, they could tell you every prophecy about him. This is going to be, this is going to be. And they knew those prophecies, and they were looking for that Messiah. And that's what Matthew's pointing out. He fulfilled this prophecy, he fulfilled this prophecy, proving or trying to prove to them that he was the Messiah.
But you know what? That brings me, I'm going backwards, and I don't mean to go backwards, but when I was reading the genealogy, it was showing that there was 14 generations. I don't have it marked in my Bible where it's at, but I just thought that was kind of interesting where it said that it was, there was 14 generations from David until the exile to Babylon, or 14 generations, and then from the exile in Babylon to Christ are 14 generations. And I don't know, I just don't think that's coincidence. You got 14 generations in between each one.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know what that means, and I'm sure a Bible scholar, I'm not a Bible scholar, but I'm sure a Bible scholar knows, but I just thought that was interesting that Matthew also pointed that out as well.
Which brings us to chapter 3.
Are we on chapter 3?
Yeah. Which starts off John the Baptizer.
Yes. You know, I know this is just so off the wall, but the man only ate food and locusts, or his food was locusts and honey. I cannot imagine that being my diet, locusts and honey.
Yeah, and you're the man of God? I don't know if I want to worship that. God don't feed you very well, but anyway.
Which, you know, he is coming from the wilderness. You know, that was one of the things with John the Baptist, and so I guess that goes along with that, with him wearing his camel's hair and his leather belt and eating locusts and honey.
There wasn't a Brahms in the desert, so he couldn't have ice cream.
They just don't know what they were missing, do they? Don't have any Brahms.
And again, Matthew is pointing out that John the Baptist was another answered prophecy of Isaiah. You know, Isaiah had prophesied, and thus he was pointing out that John the Baptist fulfilled yet another prophecy.
Yes, preparing the way. Mm-hmm. Preparing the way for him. And so John's been baptizing the people, and the Pharisees are coming against him, and then here comes Jesus wanting to be baptized. And he's like, what? You should be baptizing me, not me baptizing you. And Jesus is like, go ahead. Jesus tells him to baptize him, and so he goes to him and does it. But I just think that's for John the Baptist to know when he saw him that that was the Son of God, and how reverential of a moment it was that he was showing up right there during the baptism.
Yes. And I like that he kind of, I thought it was funny that he got on to the rich Pharisees. So everybody was coming down to be baptized. He said he noticed, he saw many coming that were from the wealthy elite Jewish society, the Pharisees and stuff. And you know, John, he called them out and called them vipers, and why do y'all slither away, you know, and from the fire of God's judgment and all this, you know what I mean?
It seems so harsh to me when I hear it.
Yeah, and you just get that. You can just almost picture him. He's this scraggly old little, I see him as a little rough. He got to be thin because he only had locusts and honey. Can't be a big guy. He's got to be a little guy. This guy, what we call today, like little man syndrome. You know, he thinks he's 10 feet tall and bulletproof. He's don't hold nothing back and just tells everybody everything. And he sees them standing over there. They're probably dressed real nice and trying not to get dirty because he's in the Jordan River, you know, and he's baptizing these people, and he just calls them out right there on the shore in front of everybody, you know, just starts talking smack or whatever you want to call it to him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He just calls them out and tells them right there, you know. I could just almost see that, you know, anyway, it being kind of funny about the deal. But.
And as you're saying that, I think that's how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be that bold, that God gives us that boldness to speak what we should speak. But talking about the Jordan River, Sonia and I know I've told the listeners before, but Sonia and I, when we were in Israel, I didn't actually get to go that day. I was sick, so I didn't get to go to the Jordan River, but she did. And she was telling me how nasty it was, like it stunk. And I don't know if it was the same way when Jesus was baptized there or not, but it was nasty.
I'm sure not nearly as bad, you know, because you're talking about thousands of years of people putting waste in it. So, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sure it wasn't clean, but I'm sure it wasn't as bad as it is today. So
yeah. And so we go into where Jesus is getting baptized, and then that's where the Trinity is first introduced into the Bible, as well in the New Testament here. And he talks about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and God descending on him like a dove. And, of course, doves are one of my favorite things to see, is doves. When I sit here in my kitchen window and I read my Bible and I can see doves, not pigeons, but doves, and it makes me think of the Holy Spirit. But as we look at that there, a voice from heaven, being God, said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." But then not only did they get to hear God introduce his Son, but then they saw the Holy Spirit come and transcend on Jesus. And so I can't even imagine what it would have been like to have experienced a God, hearing God say, "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased," and then for this dove to come down.
You know, and one thing for me is, it's always been a deal that, you know, because when John come to be baptized, John almost refused to do it. Said, "No, you should be baptizing me. I'm not going to baptize you because I'm not worthy." And, you know, it should be the other way around. And Jesus, what he said, his statement was, he said, "It's only right to do all that God requires, or all that God requires of us." That's what he told John. So John's like, oh, okay. So basically Jesus was saying that I'm not above. Jesus was a man, and he was doing everything that a man should do. He said he's not excluded from anything. He didn't exclude himself from anything. So basically he's not asking us to do anything he did not do himself, is the deal. You know what I mean? He's not asking us when the rules of the Bible or whatever you want to call it. He's not asking us to do anything he didn't do already. And so it's one of those respect, you can kind of respect that in a man. You know, if you have a boss that's asking you to clean the toilets, you know, I want to clean toilets, that's the dirty job or whatever. And you're like, well, the boss, when he started, he cleaned the toilets. He's not asking you to do anything he didn't do already, you know what I mean? And so you have a little bit more of a, well, okay, yeah, I'm sorry about cleaning toilets. I may be the boss one day myself. You know what I mean? And so Jesus didn't skip none of the religious, if you want to call it that, stuff. He went to church. He went to, you know, synagogue, and he read from the scrolls like everybody else. He taught. He did everything that he asked us to do. And that was being baptized was one of those things, you know. And he told John, no. It's only right to everyone to do what all God asks. And John didn't have a problem with it.
Well, my translation, I like how it reads, because Jesus tells John the Baptist, after he says, you know, says that to him about having Jesus baptize him, he says, let it be so now, for it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. That was a moment where you had to go through that process in order to fulfill that righteousness that he had came for. And so it's taking that steps. You know, and as you think about that, and we go about and we do the things that God wants us to do, and then sometimes we have that attitude that's just come to my mind, but sometimes we have that attitude of, who am I? Who am I to do that? Who am I to, you know, sing praise and worship or go talk to this person? I can't think of any examples really, but when we feel like something is laid on our heart that God wants us to do, we tend to have that who am I attitude.
Well, if you feel like God wants you to go pray for somebody that's sick, that's a big one right there, that you're like, who am I to lay hands on the sick? Who am I to pray for somebody? I'm no priest. I'm no saint. I'm no, you know, that's a big one that I think almost everybody feels when they hear, you know, if God tells you, don't you go pray for this person? Well, no, not me. You got me confused, Lord. No, not me. And we give them the whole, you know, like almost everybody, Moses, Hebrew, don't send me, I can't talk.
Right.
You know, many of them, I say all, a lot of them in the Bible did the same thing. Not me. Why me? I can't do that. You know.
And so when you say, who am I? You say, I am the righteousness of God, because Jesus came that I may be a joint heir with Christ. And that's who you are. You are someone that is out to fulfill the righteousness here on earth.
Yeah.
God needs us to fulfill that righteousness here on earth.
You know, and this just came to me, though. But when once we get saved, you know, once we get saved, it almost does, but it doesn't in the physical. But if we could, when we got baptized, people could see the Holy Spirit come into us and hear God say, this is my son whom I'm well pleased, or, you know, whatever word you want to use. But would that, I don't know, would that, we'd probably still refuse it, but if that's our answer, when instead of saying who am I, the answer to that, when God says, "Hey, I want you to go here and pray for so and so, they're sick or whatever," and then you would say that I'm the son of God or the daughter of God, and God is well pleased with me, I'm going to go pray. You wouldn't even hesitate.
Oh yeah,
you would be just like Joseph, maybe go to Egypt. All right, we'll load up kids. We're going to, you know, marry this stuff. We're going to Egypt, you know. And so that's if a revelation, we get that revelation that once we make that decision to make Jesus Lord of our life, we are a son or daughter of God, and he is in us just like the Holy Spirit came down and was with him. we have the exact same thing that he had. And we would not belittle ourselves if we understood who we were in Christ and quit thinking about who we were before Christ.
That's right. We are royalty now. Mm-hmm. And we have to see ourselves as royalty. And how does royalty conduct their life? Royalty, royalty walks around like they own the place, and so to speak, with that boldness and that confidence. And that's who we are. When Jesus is within us, that makes us that righteousness. He is our righteousness robe. We to walk around with boldness in Christ, that we may go about doing good, knowing that God is pleased with me. No matter what, He's still pleased with me.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I think about, because I mean, I'll be honest, I've said, who am I sometimes?
It's hard. It's hard to see yourself. That's why we have to get into Word. I think that's why this New Testament reading this year, you know, we've done the whole read the Bible through the year deal, you know, and that's great. I recommend it to everybody. That's really, really good to know you have read the whole thing. Just something about that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You don't remember much of it. Don't
yeah, matter. You can hold that Bible up and you can say, you see all these pages? I have read every one of these pages.
I mean, I've been able to pronounce half the names in it. That's thank God for the phone app, that you have the Bible app on your phone, that when it comes to those, I'm not like you. You look and you study the names and really try to say the names. Me, I'm going to hit play and let somebody else say the names for me, because I'm not going to mess with it, because I'll mess them up.
I'm a go-getter. I'm going to try to figure it out.
Yeah, I'm going to just listen.
Okay, well.
It says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So I'll pray that somebody else read those names.
That's right.
But anyway, so you said the Spirit came down on him, and then that moves us right into chapter 4.
Yes, chapter 4. And I know we've already said this several times. It's like, bam, we're going from one subject to the next. And so now here Jesus, he's going into the desert. And one of the things, as I see right at the beginning of the chapter 4, he goes out into the wilderness, and he had already fasted for 40 days and 40 nights before the enemy ever came to him. And I thought that was interesting. Because after he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the Bible points out he was hungry. And that's when the enemy comes. So he was in a form of weakness. Jesus was weak in his body physically because he was fasting, and the enemy had come, and he was trying to take advantage of that situation.
I know that's something that's always been I can't wrap my mind around that, because in science, they taught us in science, right,
mm-hmm.
that your body can go, I don't know what it is, 7 or 10 days or something like that without food, but it can't go more than like 3 days without water. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so how could Jesus go without food or water for 40 days? You know what I mean? And so that's something that I don't know, that's always been one of those things in there that, you know, has always baffled me.
So do the translations, because my translation just says fasted. It doesn't say from food or water. It just says fasted. And so I don't know how the other translations read if it says food or water.
I have seen a translation, I can't tell you which one, that said went without food and water. But I know there was different type of fast, you know, and so, I mean, I'm not trying to argue the Bible or anything like that.
Right,
I'm not trying to get theological with nobody. I just like, you know, there's different type of fast. You can date fast in the day, fast in the night, whatever.
Well,
just fast food, then eat water, or whatever, you know what I mean? But I just, something that when I was a kid, I was like, there's no way that someone mm-hmm. can go 40 days with no food, no water. And so it's something that throws you off and makes you, you know, think about different stuff. And anyway, but yeah, after about 40 hours, I'm going to be hungry if I'm fasting, no 40 days, you know.
Yeah, so I have looked at two other translations, and it said just fasting. So I know you may have heard that somewhere.
Right.
But it said, it don't say he's hungry and thirsty. It says he's hungry.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what I'm saying. He could have probably had water. And like I said, they don't say he's thirsty, he's hungry. It says he's hungry.
And I've never gone 40 days without food. I'm be straight up honest. I never have. I can't even imagine going that long without food.
Right.
I know that when I go a couple of days without food, I think I'm so hungry I can't take it. And I know the battle when I'm trying to fast, the battle to continue that fast and not go ahead and be tempted to go ahead and eat and break that fast. I can't even imagine. And so when I read that, that's how I think of whenever I fasted, how hungry he must have been at that point where the enemy comes. And that's just what he does. The enemy comes to us when we're at our weakest moment.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, what does Jesus do whenever he tempts him with bread? What does he do? He comes back with the word. He responds to the enemy with the word. And that's what we have to do. God's word is strong and powerful. And when you are in any kind of battle, you need to use his word. You respond in his word. The answer is his word. God's word is our will. If people say God's word is his will, is what I'm trying to say. And so that's what we have to look at here is God's word. And then, of course, we go into and he tempts him a couple more times, which I don't even know why he would take him to the holy city up there on the highest point and say, fall down and worship me and I will give you all of this. I'm like, it's already his.
Well, at the time when Satan had taken it from Adam, when Adam sinned, he gave Satan, that was Satan's. He was in control of it.
Right, and he's still...
So it was his.
It's still, he's still the...
It was his to give, and that's what it says he did. And so that's, that was his. And no, I've heard that people still today, a lot of the wealthiest people in the world, the circle of wealth or whatever they're called, I believe that's how they referred to them, was the circle of wealth, but... It was in the European nation. It was part of it and all over. But the people that kind of control a lot of the world's economy and a lot of the world's wealth, they worship Satan still to this day because of that verse that Satan said, all this is given to me. Worship me and I will give it unto you. So these people today, this is now in the 2020s, right? This, like right now, these people worship the devil over that scripture right there because of that, what that scripture says. Now, I don't know if that's true, but it was a guy that had researched it and he's pretty believable. You know what I mean? He's pretty honest. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, he was a credible guy, I guess what I would say. It was probably credible to repeat it because I think he's probably did his homework and he's pretty good. And so anyway, every time I hear stuff like that, that these people that worship the devil, because only the devil's mentioned in the Bible, right? Well, do they not read the end of the book? And these people are worshiping the devil to get wealth. Did they not read the whole book?
And that
blows my mind.
I know. And that's where I was going with as far as all of that stuff was his. It may not have been his at that moment, but he was the Son of God. And...
He made it.
Yeah.
That was kind of funny. That's
the Trinity. Yeah, he made it.
That's kind of funny that the devil says, this is all mine. You worship me and I'll give it to you. And Jesus is sitting there probably thinking, sucker, I made this. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I made it all. I made you. You think that had to have crossed Jesus' mind because in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God. And he had to have made the angels. And so... You know, Jesus is thinking, I made you, devil. What are you talking about? Worship you.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's not biblical, so we're
we're getting off the subject here. But yeah, just to kind of think about that. And so he's tempted a couple more times, but I love what Jesus, in this translation that I'm reading out of, I'm really enjoying it. It's the first time I've ever done it. It's the modern English version. It's the first time I've ever read out of this, but it says, after he had been tempting him, Jesus says, get away from here, Satan, with an exclamation point. And so I can just see it, that he's like, enough is enough. You leave me alone. You get away, Satan, right now. It's time for us to say enough is enough. when the enemy is coming and trying to tempt us in the areas that we have already overcome, or in any area of where we're at, because it's constantly, the Bible says he roams around like a, he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking to whom he may devour. He's looking to devour us. And we need to be able to stand up and know that we are royalty. We have Jesus within us, and we can stand up and say, and get away from here, Satan, just get away from me, and know that you have commanded him and he has to obey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it says, then the angel showed up and ministered, brought him food, water, and ministered to him, bringing him food and serving him. That'd just be awesome, wouldn't it? Just yeah. Have angels show up.
I made it. I survived.
I bet they're not showing up with no honey and locusts, man. Sorry, back to John Baptist, but Jesus is getting some good bread.
Yeah.
He might have got brahms. They might have brought brahms.
Although, I don't know. Yeah. Or former Brahms anyway, but
yeah.
So Jesus is going to start his ministry. He's been through the desert, and the enemy has tempted him. He's about to start his public ministry, after that. And, Jesus goes and is starting to find him some disciples.
Well, he goes to Capernaum, right? He settles in Capernaum. In the country of Zebulun, and that when Jesus started his ministry, he went there to fulfill yet another prophecy of Isaiah. And it was, you know, mm-hmm. something else was spoken by Isaiah. So he fulfilled yet another prophecy by where he moved to, you know.
When he started his ministry.
So.
And so here he is, Jesus is out walking by the sea, and he sees this guy over there, and he says, "Hey, follow me and be fishers of men." They're out fishing. And my translation says they immediately left their nets and followed him. So I can just see him out by the boat, and they've got the nets in their hands, and they're doing and they're messing with their fish, and they're out on by the water, and they're doing all this. And Jesus hollers at them and says, "Hey, come follow me." And they're like, "Okay." So they just drop their nets and they walk off. And then it goes on to say down here that, the two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, they were in the boat with their father, and they went off and left the dad.
Yeah, left him alone.
It says immediately.
Yep. Sorry about your dad, but we're out.
Got to go.
Fish ain't biting, we're out.
That's right. I'm going to be fishers of men, and not of, you know, a fish. But and so get Jesus starting to get his first disciples together there.
Right. And that's, like I said, that's... Matthew's giving you just the basic. When you read the other Gospels, it's a total different story of how it went down. But Matthew, I said, he's just giving you the bare facts. We don't need to worry about that. Let's just go for the facts.
I know. And so trying to elaborate on some of this is like, because he just gives you the basic stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just like, bam, 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 we're just moving on. And so then this is where I really think about the chosen, is when Jesus was ministering to the great crowds. And there was that one episode that Jesus had been working on this message for the crowd. And they were all getting it ready, and they had to find a place to do it. And it ended up being the Sermon on the Mount.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily think it happened that way, but it was neat to see how they did it. But to see... Jesus, that's what he goes out and he starts the Sermon on the Mount. You know, that's what his public ministry, that was the message that he spoke. Mm-hmm. And in that, Matthew, going back to the chosen, Matthew was the one in the chosen that took notes for Jesus. He was the one that was the note taker. And I don't know, I just think about that because the Sermon on the Mount, I mean, he's got it out. And actually, the Sermon on the Mount is actually chapters 5 through 7, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
And so we're actually stopped at chapter 5, so we're just getting into the Sermon on the Mount. But Jesus is addressing several issues or several things for people there.
Yeah, lots of everything. Lots of everything. The Sermon on the Mount, I would say that's, and I would agree with a lot of people that say it, that's his most famous you know, teaching or preaching or whatever. That was his.
And a lot of reference. People reference those teachings.
Everything. And they've been preached and teached and taught and argued over and all kinds of different stuff, you know. So, anyway, there's a lot there to talk about if you want to try to get into the all, every bit of that, you know. But as an overview of it.
Yeah, as an overview here, he talks about the blessedness of being meek, being poor in spirit, and being a peacemaker. That really stood out to me. There's more, but being a peacemaker. Are we peacemakers? Because, you know, sometimes we don't want to bring about peace. And sometimes being peace is knowing that you're right and the other person's wrong, but you're still going to walk away and not, it, you know, it's not going to affect you. So being peacemakers. But then Jesus also talks about anger and adultery and divorce, mm-hmm. and taking oaths, or people say, I swear I didn't do it.
I swear on my mom's grave.
Yeah. And to love our enemies. And when I hear love enemies, the first thing I think of is the world thinks you're crazy when you love your enemies. So it's going back of not looking like the world. The Bible tells us that we're not of the world, of this world, but we're of heaven.
Well, that's what Jesus says. The world, that's how people will know if we are his disciple, is if we have love for one for another.
And that's what, yeah, and that's what it makes me think of, is when you see a Christian who is trying to make peace, even knowing that they're the ones that's right in the situation, but they're going to bring about peace, when you're the one that is loving your enemies and the different things, you're going to be one of those people that you're going to stand out. Because you're not going to be like everybody else. Because most everybody else is about, what can I do to take care of me? What can I do that's going to best fit me?
And I love the amplified translation of these Beatitudes. Because they break them down a little better to understand. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You kind of get, well, what does that mean? What does the meek mean? And the Amplified gives you a... If you haven't read them in Amplified, I recommend doing that. It's really, really good. And it just breaks it down more simple so that you can get a little better understanding of what each one means, you know.
Right, right.
It's like when he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit is saying those devoid of spiritual arrogance, those who regard themselves as insignificant. Basically, it's not about me, it's about Jesus. That's the poor in spirit. And it gives you that, it tells you what that is, you know. It mm-hmm. tells you that, what it's saying. And each one of those in Amplified breaks that down. It's really good, you know.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I was thinking about it earlier and I had forgot. But that's just it. This whole thing called Christianity, mm-hmm. Christianity, this whole learning about Jesus, everything is centered around him and nothing about us. It has nothing to do with me. We don't consider our own selves in that, but we consider what God wants us to do. And that's the reference that's saying die to self, mm-hmm. and take up your cross and follow Jesus. Crucify yourself and take up your cross. And one thing that we have to remember is when we're in this, we're doing this that people would be looking to heaven, not to us.
Right.
We're doing things that people are seeing the love of Christ, that they would want to be a part of that and be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Right. Yeah. It's almost like the... It says, blessed are the pure in heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're supposed to be, is a pure of heart. And this Amplified version, it says this, for the heart, the pure heart, are those with integrity, moral courage, and godly character. So if we have integrity, moral courage, and a godly character, which we're just talking about, it says those, for they will see God. So if the people see that in us, they're going to see God in us, which will, like I said, so that's the purpose and why we do that, while we do what we're supposed to do and act like we're supposed to do, is so that people can see God.
Yeah. the people, we could cause people to see God, mm-hmm. not look at our own self. And so we go into the last little bit here. Of course, you already talked about the heart condition. We have to watch our heart. Where's our heart at? You know, what is our heart? A heart is our thoughts, our insides, our the way we think. And we have to watch how, we have to watch that. We have to compare it up against the word. But then we go to salt and light. And I want, just real quickly, because I know we're about to run out of time here, but talking about salt and light. I had some popcorn the other day, and it had a lot of salt on it, but you could taste it. Then I've had some popcorn that didn't have any salt on it. And just comparing that to what, that's what we need to be in the earth. As we are doing these things that Jesus talks about, loving others, watching our heart condition, praying for people, all these things, we're seasoning the earth with Christ's love.
Yeah. If you get some of Blaze's popcorn, I don't think it's ever going to lose its saltiness. You know, he's all about the salt.
And then if you don't have saltiness, which it says salt, what do you do with salt if it don't have saltiness? Well, you just crumble it and throw it away.
Throw it out, walk on it.
So if we don't have salt, that makes me think about how, you know, I want to be with salt at all times. And how do I get my salt? I get my salt from the word. I get my salt from spending time with Jesus and praying. And that's what I want to do, is I want to be salt. I want to be these things, mm-hmm. so that people will see Christ. And my life would be count as something, not worthless.
And the light of the world, I always think of that. It's like a children's song that we sing, this little light of mine.
Mm-hmm.
I know we were at Church in the Square one time. We had the band from the Behind the Bars Ministry showed up, and their band played that. It so ministered to me when they played that song. They played that song, "This Little Light of Mine." It was just so awesome. And then it just, God just like spoke to me and told me, when you shine your light to the world, if you're judged, people were drawn to that light. When people come into that light, a lot of time a church or the church people, the religious Pharisees, like, right? We're like a bug zapper. We draw them into us, and then all we do is beat them down, beat them over the head. You're not good enough. You're not going to make it. You got to change. You got to do this. You got to do that. And so it was such a big deal for me, that song. And it's still today, I just heard God say, when the people are drawn to you because of your light, don't be a bug zapper. Don't love them. Don't, you know, let the Holy Spirit change them. You just love them when they get there. Draw them. You be God-like, Christ-like, and your light will shine, and they will come to you, and then you can just love them and let God do the zapping. You know, you don't have to zap them. Don't be a bug zapper and try to correct them and fix them.
Yeah. Yeah, that comes through the Holy Spirit. That's right. What the Holy Spirit, his job is.
Right.
And I know it's just an analogy that you're using, but God don't zap us.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's not our...
Yeah.
Right.
He loves us, and that's where we have to get our mind and our focus, that God loves us enough that he was willing to bring Jesus. We're talking about the beginning of Jesus' ministry here. We're talking about Jesus being born and coming to save the world. That's how much God loved us, that he came, that he brought his one and only son to die for us and for our sins. Are we going to receive that? And are we going to take that up and continue it on and be salt to the earth around us?
Right.
And that's why we read the word, and that's why we get into it and learn.
I know it's amazing how many times the word has come up over the years, that to me personally, that, because I'd never read the word much at all. I never had read the whole thing through till, you know, it's been a few years back now. But it can't, the Holy Spirit can't bring you to remembrance of that word if you've never read it. If you've never put mm-hmm. it in, he don't, you know what I mean? It's never been downloaded. It can't be uploaded type deal. You know what I mean? And so that's the importance of reading that word. And you can't renew your mind if, you know, and God says, keep it before you day and night. That don't mean you have to do nothing but read it day and night, not ever watch TV. You know, I'm not saying all that, but there is a benefit in it that you, when you put that in there and you meditate on that, you will always know what to do, because God will tell you, and there'll be a scripture just pop up. That'll be Holy Spirit just bring you to remembrance of a scripture that applies to your situation.
That's right. And you wouldn't even think you remembered that scripture because, you know, you go, it's in there, but then all of a sudden it just comes to mind.
About 99% of mine, I won't even know where it's at. I'll be like, well, that's the Old Testament or that's the New Testament, possibly something like that. You know what I mean? And I think it was one of the apostles. I think it was Peter, but I have no idea what book or where. But that scripture just pops up. There's some of them that I know, but there's so many times that something just come up that's just spot on for what I'm needing or what I'm asking God, and that's the answer. And I know that I've read that in the Bible somewhere. I mean, I don't know exactly where it's at, but it don't matter, really. I mean, it's nice to know it all, don't get me wrong, but if you have it in there, the Spirit can still use it to help you.
Well, to help us, but even to help those that are around us. There's been times I have been talking with people, you know, they're struggling with certain areas of their life, and a scripture will just come up, and I'll tell the person that scripture, and it will really minister to them and really speak to them. And that goes with the Holy Spirit working in that situation, putting that into my heart in order to bless them. And there's no telling what that meant to them, that scripture.
Yeah.
That they had between God. Well,
so we're going to go through the Bible, the New Testament, this year. It'd be good to join. Cornerstone is going to be an amazing deal. I think it's going to be good. And we'll recap it. You are going to recap it, basically. I may be here time to time, but.
Yes, man. It's going to be me and Kim. Kim's going to do this with me as much as she can. But this is what we're going to try to do. And one of the things is we just want to, as we go through this, as I know we're getting started, it's kind of choppy right now, but as we get into this, just share some experiences and things that the scriptures have meant to us, or, you know, a lot of times we have songs, it's from scripture, we might play that song, but we're just going to allow the Holy Spirit to move in that scripture as we talk about that, and so we really want to encourage you guys to do that with us.
Tell them the app they can get on, the website to go to, and also do as Sonia said and try to look for God every single day in something.
That's right. And so I'm hoping that next week we'll have some reports of some God moments again. And so be looking at God for everything, in everything. Be attentive to Him. Read His Word. We're going to be reading chapters 6 through 9. And we'll be back next Sunday. I will post on our Facebook page the link to Cornerstone Wheeler's website. It's on their website. They have the reading plan, they have the notes, and they have all those things. If you'd like to access that and have that to go through with us. And with that, we're going to go ahead and close out our night. 6 through 10. Okay, sorry. 6 through 10. And I'll have that on our Facebook page tomorrow so that you guys can access that. So with that being said, we are going to have to sign off for the night. We're going to have to say goodnight. And we just pray that you guys have a blessed week and that you experience God like never before. We believe that 2024 is going to be the best year yet. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week.
The preceding program was pre-recorded for play at this time.